Australia and the UK have agreed to join forces to crack down on profit shifting by multinational companies. The Treasurer Joe Hockey said yesterday that Australian officials would travel to London after the May British election to establish a working group to tackle tax avoidance by big global companies. Now, the UK is already introducing a diverted profits tax on companies that shift their earnings out of the country to avoid tax. Our business editor Cheryl Bagwell joins us. Good morning, Cheryl.
Hello, Ellen.
So does this mean that Australia will be following Britain's lead and introducing that so-called Google tax, as it's become known?
Well, look, Ellen, it would seem not, after flagging that the budget might include a Google tax. Hockey yesterday seemed to be backing away from the idea. He said on the Insiders program that Australia wouldn't actually be copying the Brits by bringing in a new tax. Rather, the aim of this partnership was to learn from the UK, he said, how to improve the Australian tax system to make it work better in terms of reaping tax on profits earned here by multinationals. Now, here is what Joe Hockey had to say.
Australia does not need to impose a new tax, but certainly there are ways that we can beef up the integrity measures around our own taxation system. We can learn a lot from what the British are doing with their so-called Google tax. But importantly, the whole world needs to work together. And by the United Kingdom and Australia coming together on this initiative, we are going to lead the world and work with the OECD and the G20 to ensure that companies pay the proper amount of tax where they earn the income.
So that was the Treasurer speaking on Insiders yesterday. So, Ellen, that doesn't sound like he's planning to introduce a Google tax here. It may not be worth the trouble in the end, because in the UK, experts are already saying that the diverted profits tax will probably raise little in terms of revenue, and some fear that such unilateral action could even trigger a tax war between countries, because it would undermine long-standing tax treaties. Now, better, say the experts, to let the OECD broker a coordinated international plan that will lead to a harmonisation of tax laws. But of course, this process is very slow. So maybe by announcing this joint working group with the UK, the Treasurer is trying to put pressure on the OECD to speed up this global action, while also demonstrating that he's taking the issue seriously, because multinational tax avoidance is certainly something that riles up the electorate. But look, whatever the message, it doesn't look like the measures announced yesterday will deliver the federal government any additional revenue anytime soon.
And yet the Treasurer again promising yesterday that we'll see lower budget deficits going forward. How can he promise that, though, Cheryl, with the iron ore revenue collapsing and fiscal repair really on the back burner?
Yes, Joe Hockey did say yesterday that the May budget would show the government was, quote, reducing the deficit to the point where we can get it back to surplus. But the language here, he was talking about reducing the deficit as a percentage of GDP. In absolute cash terms, the deficit for next year will almost certainly be higher. It may even top $40 billion because of the collapse in iron ore revenue and lower wages growth. But the government will probably be able to show it's declining as a percentage of GDP simply because the economy is still growing. I mean, this year it's forecast to grow by 2.5%. It's been growing for nearly the past quarter century. In fact, if we believe the stats, the economy added an astounding 38,000 new jobs in March, with the jobless rate falling to 6.1%. So the deficit as a proportion of GDP, even if it remains at around 2.5%, is perfectly manageable. I think the problem arises is when governments try to put a date on when it can return it to surplus. I mean, former Labor Treasurer Rayne Swann said we would have a surplus by 2013, which of course didn't happen. Joe Hockey in opposition then promised a surplus in every year the coalition was in office. That too has gone by the wayside.
It's like promises of a new Sydney airport.
Yeah. Well, that's right.
Believe it when you see it.
Well, we were meant to have, last budget, a small surplus by 2019. Now it looks like that timetable will once again be pushed out even further in the upcoming budget. So look, better to drop these surplus targets altogether and just focus really on the main game, which is shrinking government borrowings over time.
And looking to seriously indebted countries, country's global markets fell sharply on Friday on fears that Greece might be headed for euro exit. What triggered that?
Well, it is amazing that 5 years after its first bailout in 2010, Greece still has the capacity to spook markets. Wall Street was down more than 1% on Friday. European markets were off nearly 2%. Now, the cause was this meeting of finance ministers and central bankers in Washington for the spring meetings of the IMF. They kind of raised the ante. They said that Greek debt default still presented the biggest threat to global economic stability. And that's because Greece is once again approaching one of those crunch points. Without more bailout money, it could miss two debt payments due to the IMF in May and run out of cash to pay government salaries and pensions by the end of the month. But its creditors, the EU, the IMF and the European Central Bank, because private creditors don't lend to them anymore, are refusing to extend Greece any more aid until it signs up to a new set of economic reforms, something what's done, well, by the end of the week. The Greek government, you know, having been elected on a platform of rolling back austerity measures, however, wants a troika to compromise, but they're in clearly no mood to do so. So once again, a Greek default, possible exit from the euro is looming. This time around, though, the eurozone and the global economy is in much better shape to handle such a crisis. But as US Treasury Secretary Jack Lew warned on Friday, it's impossible to know how global markets would respond to a Greek debt default. And we shouldn't go there if at all possible. And from the reaction in markets on Friday, investors would seem to agree.
And what about the Australian share market? What can we expect when it opens this morning?
Well, futures trading is pointing to the market opening sharply lower because of those concerns about Greece, as well as the crackdown. There's been a crackdown in margin trading in China. The futures contract is down 47 points or 0.8%. This would add to the rather steep 1.2% decline in the ASX 200 index on Friday. Our market was weighed down by a number of things, lower iron ore price, slower growth in China, as well as that strong jobs report last Thursday. Now, that's good news, but bad news for markets because it might discourage the RBA from cutting interest rates again. Mm. Markets were pricing in a May rate cut as a near certainty. Now the chances are close to 50-50. Those odds may change, though, after the release this week of some data. We get the latest quarterly inflation data on Wednesday and the RBA minutes tomorrow, and Glenn Stevens, the RBA governor, is delivering a speech in New York, so who knows what he might say over there. The Aussie dollar has actually jumped above 78 US cents over the weekend. It's 78.2 US cents, and that's because the US dollar has taken a bit of a dive on some weak data and some poor US corporate earnings reports. But it's also, our dollar is also up against the euro, the yen, and the Chinese yuan if you're planning to go to China.
Thanks very much, Cheryl. Our business editor, Cheryl Bagwell.